topic and not bring up other issues. So just the labor negotiations stuff. So great, Mark.
Okay. Yeah. Well, on a week ago, I guess it was. It seems like it was a month ago, but we did reach a tentative agreement on the labor contract. The ATU voted on it Tuesday, and they passed it by 87% approval. So, I want to walk through what you, when we recommended kind of the offer to settle that you guys approved, I just want to go through that and what we settled for, and just to make sure that, you know, it's all in alignment, and when you go into the vote after this, that you have all the information. So, in wages, so we ended up with a four-year contract rather than a three. So, you guys approved basically a 2.67% raise over 3 years. We ended up with a 2.5% raise per year over 4 years. And over the increased cost of the district, wages over the 4 years is $2.696 million. Okay. The health insurance is a big piece. And, you know, what we agreed to is to get the cap increased to down to 8%. We actually got it down to 7% over the 4 years. And that's pretty significant as far as the cost increase and to control that. But what we've also done is we've removed any language in the contract related to the type of insurance that we have to provide. So, so we've got a joint insurance committee that we're working with, and we're looking at changes in the healthcare to, you know, that they have, you know, more options and different things, so we can really work at having them be more involved in their healthcare, and then, you know, trying to drive the cost down. And the union, you know, they understand that the increased cost of healthcare is not sustainable, and so they're willing to work with us. And so we were able to remove any of the language out of the contract and be able to work within the JIC to look at reducing costs. So, and that's pretty significant because that's something they've really held tight to. So, and then the retiree medical stipend. So this is a payment that retirees get to cover, you know, medical costs. It's, you know, it was $125. They wanted a lot more for everybody, and they just needed something for the retirees because the retirees actually can vote. so we increased the stipend to $140 this year, and then up to $160 on 1/1/20, and the total cost of that over the life of the contract is $85,000. And then the dependent coverage opt out, we actually saved money on that. So if everybody took place, took part in that up to the maximum we could, we'd save $150,000. You know, so, but we share some of those cost savings with the employee. So that's nice. So, the retirement. So we went, we talked about going to 72, 74, 76 in a 3 year contract. We ended up with the 72, 74, 76, 78 in a 4 year contract. And the total cost of that is $620,000 over the 4 years. And then to allow MLK, we held that off, and that was probably the least costly thing in the bargaining, but one that they were holding fast to. But we ended up not giving that. So they have three floating holidays, you know, that they can use anywhere, and so they're wanting an additional one, an MLK day. And we said, well, we'll just trade you a floater, you know, for MLK Day. They didn't want to do that. So ultimately, we ended up just keeping what we had. So no change. Tool allowance, you know, we just bumped it up. It's a $5,000 deal over the four years. But ultimately, the four-year total is a $7.4 million increase to costs. You know, 4 million of it almost is in healthcare. So, you know, and we're asking you to, you know, to ratify this tonight, and you know, we think it's reasonable, and then we've had the discussion about, you know, we're not just bargaining against the people here. You know, we're bargaining against Portland, and we're bargaining against Salem, and you know, I just looked, and Denver gave an 8% increase the first year of their contract and for their bus operators, you know, and so, and these are national unions, and so, I mean, if we're just bargaining against people here, it'd be very different, but we're not. When it gets to arbitration, you know, they look broadly, and they look, you know, specifically as well, but, you know, what Salem does and what and TriMet and C-Tran do are important comparators, and currently, Salem is in mediation, and I think the union's wanting 4% a year, and they're offering 3.25%, and they're going to mediation over it. So, and they've still got the you know, benefit programs that are pretty fat. So, you know, I think we did the best we could, and within the guidelines that the board gave us, and so, you know, so we think it's reasonable. But there's a piece of information to give you some context, because we settled this, came to TA on Thursday, and we rolled up the budget on Monday. And so we've got some budget challenges this coming year. So what I didn't want you to do is kind of ask you to ratify it and then come to you next week saying we have budget challenges. And so, you know, we've been working over, and we've got it under control. We know where we're at, but, you know, it's going to mean some service adjustments, and it's going to mean that we have a line of credit to make sure we have enough contingency, and we got enough to cover the budget. But so there's, you know, some things that we're looking at to be able to manage that, and I think we've got it. But, you know, that's just kind of the 10,000 foot view. We'll go into detail in the budget meeting next week, but I wanted to at least give you a hint in context of the what I'm asking you to do tonight, that's a challenge that we'll present to you next week.
Thank you very much, Mark. So questions from anyone on the board?
And I can tell you, there's a lot of rules that we held off. I mean, that would have been very costly. So, I mean, virtually, you know, we came out with no major changes in work rules that would have, you know, cost us. So there was things about mixing, you know, MX work and regular work, and there was some other things that would have been pretty significant in how we can put together work that we were able to not agree to and not get in the contract. I think ultimately it saves money as well. So.
Right. And comments are fine too. Doesn't have to be a question.
Yeah.
Well, this is April. This is in line with what we had discussed over the several meetings we've had. So there's no surprises, and we were prepared for the budget piece also. So it's not like the first time we heard it. So.
Great. Okay. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah. And I do want to just add, if I could, Carl,
please,
is the fact that. Staff put in the assumption that the board would approve it, not saying that you have to. That's I want to make sure all the questions, you know, are asked here and that we're able to answer them. And if you're not, then want to make sure we come back before you ratify something that you're not comfortable with. So the budget presentation that we will give you at the budget committee will take the assumptions that you did do that. So, and we're posting that tomorrow. So if you don't approve it, know that we would probably just address in the budget committee that assumption is in there, but it does not, because that's a whole separate approval process. So although we're not gonna go into the details of the budget, we did think it was adequate to answer any questions related to the budget because it's really money, you know? If that happens, so, you know, we want to make sure that if there's more information that you need about the budget today, that we're able to answer those questions. I mean, Mark, myself, Christina, and a few other of us have all spent a lot of time really reviewing the message, you know, all the different pieces, so that we can answer questions for you today. If you choose to approve this today, that you understand, you know, how that affects the budget, because this is, this contract is a financial decision you're making, and unless you know what the finances are, how could you approve this? So we want to make sure we do answer those questions, because we think they're very relevant here today. Yes.
Kate.
Okay.
So, Kate and then Don.
Kate, can you hit your, thank you.
And Gary, make sure to let us know if you can't hear us, okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. And I'll, after everybody's had a chance to say, I'd like to ask a couple questions.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is Kate. Gary, hello.
Hi, Kate.
First question is, in the increased cost under wages, where it says year one, $77,400, is that for 1/1/18?
That is, so what we offered is a $300 signing bonus.
Okay.
And that's what that is.
Okay.
For this year.
Okay. And then, so am I correct in assuming that year two, year three, and year four are for the fiscal year we're going into and beyond?
Correct.
Okay. And then, so under health insurance, same question, the $685,570, is that for the current year we're in or for moving into the next fiscal
current
year?
Current year. And those, these are calendar years because we renew on
okay.
January 1st.
Ah. Okay. So the impact to the budget will vary based on fiscal year start and end. Okay. So, but we'll see all of that $685,570 in this next fiscal year, or half of that?
Yeah,
yes,
half of, okay.
Yeah.
And then for, same question for retiree medical insurance stipend, is that 2018 for the fiscal year we're in or the one we're going into?
David.
That's for the year we're, it's the year that we're in because it'll go into effect starting in March.
Okay.
Or May.
Okay, yeah, and so part of that will be in the this
current
fiscal year and part
yes.
in the next
yes.
fiscal year.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then for retirement, is that the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else, Kate?
No, yep. I just was wondering what the total impact for the next fiscal year would be and for this current fiscal
sorry.
Year that we're in.
Yeah,
what those
so
would be separately,
be
but we
actually
don't know.
For, yeah, for the, yeah. The current one is the 9.13 through July 1st, and then it'll be 9.13 for half the year, and then 8% if it goes up 8%.
Okay.
So, and this is assuming that it's going to go up the full amount each
right,
year.
Right, each year. Okay. So. Is there any way when we look at the budget for the next fiscal year? I don't know. Is that a weird request? If we're looking at the next fiscal year, what the impact of this,
the total,
yeah,
all collected, broken out.
Yeah,
it'll be in the budget.
Okay.
Differently.
Okay.
I mean,
it won't show up as like the CBA in the budget
right,
line.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Just curious. On that. Okay, that's all.
Good job. Thanks, Don.
Okay. As you said, Mark, that we have nearly $4 million in health insurance. Now, is this a commitment for 4 years, or is this just, well, this is based on today, but health insurance seems to be a moving target all the time.
So this is the cap. This is the most, that increase that we'll accept. So, you know,
so if we can save a lot more,
right.
We could change the budget, but we wouldn't know that for next year or the
right.
year after.
So we renew every, I think our renewal rates come out in around October, and by November, you know, we've negotiated whatever the increase is. And so, you know, and just based on experience and all the other things that goes into figuring out insurance rates. And so we said if it's more than 8%, then, you know, we meet with the union and decide either we change the plan or do something to reduce the costs of the plan, or they share in the costs.
But you may be able to negotiate a whole new plan.
Right. Well, and that's what the JIC is actually doing, the Joint Insurance Committee, is, you know, really looking at, you know, because we did take the language that's specific to plans out of the contract. So we can do some exploration around different plans that, you know, may help us control costs.
Thank you.
Gary, go ahead.
Okay. They've hit two of the items. On the insurance specifically, we've got a limit now of 7% with this particular agreement. But anything over that, Mark, goes to the JAC and of course the thing that's possible there is that we can convince the union to accept maybe a little more modest plan than we currently have to affect the overall cost so that they don't have to participate, or they could be willing to participate. And of course that's something that we would like to start them to feel like they have some ownership in that, and it's not just provided. And so I think that insurance thing has been a really good thing, but it has the potential of spending more money, but that would be decided on by the JAC. But before that was an agreement, would the board not have a chance to have input on that, the recommendation of the JAC?
So, no. Once a contract is settled, then it, the contract specifically states that the JAC will decide how to reduce the cost down to the cap or, you know, below the cap.
So if
it comes in at 9%, for instance, and, you know, we're only obligated to 7%, then, you know, the JIC is charged with sitting down and deciding how to reduce those costs. And, you know, either it's to the district, either it's a shared expense or we change plans. And if they can't come to an agreement within the JIC, there is a process spelled out in the labor agreement on how the decision will be made, and it has to do with representatives from insurance providers to come in and tell us how to do it.
Okay. So that's all part of the agreement. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. That helps. Yep. Okay. Okay. And I know that Kate's question is exactly one of my concerns is I'm trying to get to January of 19.
Right.
So that some of those resources of the 2017 legislative program start to take effect and can cover some of that. And I think that's what she was getting at, is that what is the impact? And I think you gave her the answer, so that really helps. So yeah, I guess the thing that probably impacts me as much as anything is understanding where our comparators are at relative to these issues. And I'm a bit surprised that the union has said, you know, we'll settle with LTD prior to settlement with the Salem. And because that Salem thing is significantly more than what we're talking about. And I'm not sure, but the one thing that we do have is we can show that our resources are not very flush. We're tight. We are very, very tight on our economics. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Actually, I had the same idea Gary had, which was I was surprised that they would be willing to make the agreement before Salem's had completed. And is there, I'm guessing with the 87% passage that they were, since they were so satisfied with, go ahead.
I think that a lot of that might have to do with elections. They have elections coming up, so it's locally, it was really important to local officers to try to settle before we got into elections.
Yeah, Portland wasn't anxious to settle, but our guys, they really wanted to get it done.
And can we also add that the union has taken a vote because they also have to ratify it on their end. Mm-hmm. And I believe they had a high attendance.
Well, as you said, 87%.
Yeah, 87, yeah. So that's really
it's huge. Extremely high. Very big.
Oh, and they had a really high turnout, too. So.
Yeah.
So it's highly representative of their membership. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Steven.
You mentioned that we're going to get a surprise on the budget side next week.
I'm trying not to give you a surprise.
No, we're not going to give you a surprise. We want to make sure that we are able to answer questions today about that.
And so there's no new, and thanks, Camille. I appreciate that. And so there's no surprises coming to the board regarding the budget that
I think there's some changes
a month ago or.
Yeah, so there's some changes in the budget this year that you have, well, not seen before. One of them is we're going to rely on a line of credit to cover some of the contingency. So, you know, we've been able to balance the budget except for the contingency. And so part of that we're going to have to cover with a line of credit because of the board policy to have 2 months of contingency on it. So that's...
Go ahead. So... And that's, so we want to make sure, as Carl gave us information today, as he, that we cover topics related to the negotiation, and we feel the budget is related. So we're trying to stay out of the weeds so that we don't violate anything, but we think that we have to cover it because you cannot make a financial decision without knowing the budget. So that's what we were kind of saying, what questions you have. So, yeah, one of the... the main differences you will see is that you will see that for the reserve, we're going to recommend to the budget committee, and then should that be, then they recommend to the only to the board that LTD use a line of credit to as a reserve. We feel that it's the most responsible thing to do than to kind of do deep cuts to the service, although you'll also see that we will have recommendations that as we've seen our ridership, over the last 3 years, we've increased ridership in areas that we felt that we needed to put back service. After adding service over a three-year period, we've seen ridership increase in some areas and not in other areas. So we're going to recommend to the board of directors that given the areas that are really underutilized by riders, that we... do service reductions, no major impacts, just kind of trimming in those key areas where buses are not really being utilized, because those result in really good cost savings and make much more sense. We may also look at areas to reinvest. So as we trim in some areas, we'll reinvest. But we believe the balancing of all of that would result in the amount of $2 million of
savings.
Not cost incurred. So that also helps to balance the budget. We feel that's based on our ridership trends, and those of you on the board for a while have seen month after month. So we see areas that it's not productive. But yes, if we were to keep that unproductive service going, we would be in some trouble. So what we're kind of saying is, you know, we've allowed enough time to do that. For a few of you that I sat down, I think, Stephen, at one point we sat down and we looked at, you looked at some service modifications also for this last February. And in there, we also had a recommendation about MX, remember? But MX had not started yet, and we said it's not a good time. But the service planners are looking at no major drastic changes to MX, but that the fact that if we were, because it has the most buses, the most frequency, and the highest cost, if we were to remodify how MX runs, that we could have significant savings there. And as you know, there's areas of that service that really is empty buses. So we feel it's the responsible way. So we want you to know that those service modifications that will result in some reductions are there. And that helps us be able to afford this, because we, even if you didn't approve that, I think it's still the responsible thing that we did those service modifications. I mean, to continue to run 60-foot, you know, buses during certain times at the frequency we are, we feel that, you know, now that we've had West Eugene, it's responsible.
And the cost of contract is included in the budget. So, I mean, it's...
And I appreciate that background, and I don't want to get into the weeds. I have just a broader question from 30,000 feet, and that is, if you were going to present to the board some sort of surprise in the budget that was material that could potentially change or reframe our approach to the union, I think that is important to know. What I'm hearing
yep.
is that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Therefore, a part of me, and I negotiate a lot, is whenever I hear that something passed with 87%, I think, crap, I left way too much money on the table, and I should be rethinking this. But at this point, I think if there's nothing material on our side of the fence that we can, with a straight face, go back to the union and go, our financial situation is more compromised than we had thought. It's not in good faith on our part to go back and be changing this dramatically.
Sure.
So I certainly am not pleased with, take off my glasses, a $7.4 million change. But I think we, at this point, we accept it and manage, as you're talking about, which is a getting into the weeds issue about how we appropriately adjust our services and manage our business to save money. And we should be doing that regardless of whether we're giving the union more.
That's correct. And
you're exactly right.
And that's correct. That's really what we should be doing, whether or not this was time or not. So, yeah.
Actually, if I could put myself before Kate, and then
that's fine.
Unless there was anyone else who wants to speak. I was chuckling at what Stephen had said about the approval rating from ATU, but I was also thinking that it also could indicate something else, which is that we bought some purchased some goodwill from the employees, and I just want to check that if management thought that was the case.
Yeah, well, you know, we've really got a pretty good relationship with our ATU guys, you know, and they really had to control the leadership in Portland to get this done because they didn't want to get it done. And so our local guys kind of stepped up and said, no, we really want to settle this. We're, you know, we understand where they are. And you know, and they realize health care is a huge issue. You know, they really do. And they're, you know, willing to, you know, not willing to, you know, just say, okay, fine, we're just going to start paying for half our health care. they aren't that understanding. But they are, you know, willing to really change the language so we can actually work on it internally to try to figure out if there's ways that we can reduce the costs. So, and I really respect them for that because they didn't really have to do that.
I will say that the conversation about the budget with them, we've had this conversation probably a year before the contract expired. So we, you know, because the contract expired on July 1st of 2017, we started having a conversation with them in late 2016. I think it was like around September, October, so maybe about only 10 months or something like that. We started talking to them about the budget and what we were seeing, the trend, and that as we add positions, rev up for West Eugene, that money was going to be tight because, you know, the organizations have some growing pains and that's just normal. That's going to happen. So we started that conversation ahead of time. So I think they were prone to believe us step by step. I can't tell you the Portland people believed us, but they really did. And I think they believed us the whole way because there was no surprises to them. And then the numbers added up right for them.
But I think that the high percentage is a lot of outreach by the local ATU to the membership to educate them on the contract. And we've hired a lot of newer operators that are really excited about what they mean and their wages and stuff.
Kate.
I just had a quick question because I imagine it'll continue to be something that comes up. Has LTD ever had to do a line of credit as a part of a budgeting process?
I'm not aware that we have, but I will tell you that an agency of this size doing a $100 million project, I don't think it was wise that we didn't do that. And I think the board has seen that. The numbers have been getting better, but those of you that have been around for a few years may see the cash flow that the district does to the federal government. So I would say that whether we should have done it then, we really should be doing it now. Whether you ever, you normally never use it, you keep it as a security. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we didn't do it when we had, like, you guys saw the big checks we were paying out and, you know, as doing our research, looking at other agencies, they normally do it for a few reasons. They do it because of, as Christina always tells you guys about the timing of the money, and they do it because the federal grants take so long. They're a sure deal. They do come through, but it's just a delay. So LTD was able to cash flow large amounts of money at some points or the other. And the, as you know, the whole project is a $100 million project. So we probably should have done it. And I think we're now in a position to say, we probably should have done it then, we should do it now. If not, yeah.
Yeah, it's not unusual for any municipality or public agency to have a line of credit to, you know, manage cash flow to some degree if they need to.
We need board approval before we could do that piece of the budget. We'll have to get your approval for us to be able to move forward with a line of credit. So we don't have anybody. We would have to procure that person through a competitive, that firm or bank through a competitive process.
Sounds like a good topic for next week.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You might have to lend us money?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, you will be at the budget committee.
Good.
Yeah, you'll be at the budget committee. And I think that's probably going to be, you know, a big topic of discussion for that. So we kind of wanted to broach those knowing that the weeds will be then. But I think you should know all these pieces before.
No conflict of interest there at all. Scott Pruitt. Yeah. any other questions or comments? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Oh, wait. You're in executive session. You got to come out of executive session.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you for checking me, Gary. Do we need to move, or can I just call us out of executive session?
You just adjourn back into open session.
Okay, great. If there are no other comments and questions, I will go ahead and move us back into regular session. So this part is